Greetings, salutations, and welcome back to the Planeswalkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my awesome and stupendous co-host. The holidays have been great to him. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Aramis Burroughs. Aramis, how are you?
Hey, I am doing good. Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, Happy Christmas, Hana Kwanzaa.
Wow, that was something.
I'm covering all my bases, except for Boxing Day.
Well, let's get this show right on the road. Before we do anything else tonight, we do want to spend a few minutes here and remind you guys that this episode of the Planeswalkers Podcast is sponsored by the Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone at no charge, Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. With locations in Catskill and now on the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Galleria, both of those in New York State, Kerwin's Game Store is the best place in gaming. They will be hosting pre-release events in both locations, and you can find more information at www.kerwinsgamestore.com/MTG_pre-release. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, you can get 5% off any online order when you use the promo code Planeswalkers. So we really want to thank Kerwin's for that. But, you know, it is our untap phase. So, of course, I had to run downstairs before we started and get invisible beer.
Beer.
I found this in the back of the fridge like 2 days after Christmas. I was so happy.
Oh, no.
So it's a little bit it's my last winter lager. So.
Oh, okay. Savor it.
Oh, that's so tasty. But how was your holiday, brother man? How's it going?
It was good. It was good. You know, family was over. We did some visiting. My brother-in-law came into town again.
Did he play?
Like, that's the one big disappointment. We only got a chance to play one game.
Oh, really? What happened?
But it was Brawl, so I was pretty happy with it.
Oh, okay. Well, that works.
Well, it's just the way the holidays are. It gets hectic, and there was a lot of stuff to do. We had stuff to do around the house during the holiday, and Kevin to keep the little guy occupied for 2 weeks when he was off from school. So there's always next time.
Yeah. Did you get into any F&Ms or?
I did not. I think the last one that I went to was a week or two before the holiday.
Yeah, when we probably were on the air.
Yeah. One of the last times. So I'm hoping to go this weekend.
So am I, actually. So yeah. I got to actually talk to Steve about that so we can kind of, you know, see if we're going to do some show stuff there, too. So
yep. So yeah, I'm looking to go this weekend. And then the pre-release next week, I'm going to be going to Friday night and Saturday.
Well, it's kind of funny. The pre-release, I'm very excited. I'm actually going to sign up this week because I was going to bring the guys from the club. But my son, well, let me back this up. So, you know, he came home and what we ended up doing was the holidays was I got Wendy. I set her up a little bit better with her Alero deck. Nicholas got the Populate Commander deck. Matthew got the Sacrifice, or not the Discard deck, the Red and Black Rakdos Commander.
And this one, yeah.
And I love that deck, by the way, because I also got it, because Wendy accidentally bought me a deck I had. So I was like, I'm just going to take this back to Walmart. She didn't buy it at Walmart. And be like, it's not open. Can I have that one right there? Thank you. Bye-bye. Gone.
Wow.
Yeah. So I took that back and exchanged it. I pulled a full Sally Benson exchange. And then we did play Commander. And so we played the first time. They've never played multiplayer Commander. So, of course, I thought to myself, what a great time for Nicholas to experience the joy
of Atraxa.
I played Atraxa.
Use.
It is hereby banned in the house. And I am lucky I'm not divorced.
Non-existent in the entire universe, because what did I tell you about Atraxa?
So turn three Atraxa, because I got a soul ring, or not a soul ring. I got all the mana I needed.
Oh my God.
Turn three Atraxa, turn four Oko.
I'm surprised you're still alive, honestly.
Basically, turn six, Nicholas looks at both of us and goes, can I quit? Do we have to play this? Because I mean, your commander's an elk. This is when he's like, I'm not even casting my commander. You're just going to turn him into an elk.
Yeah, Oko is so stupid.
So it was great. It was hysterical. I'm forbidden from playing it ever again in the house. So that was fun. But, you know, I we played again, and I played the Madness deck, and the Madness deck is almost as bad. It needs some work. I'm going to throw some Lily. I'm going to throw some Judas in there. I'm going to throw I'm actually going to throw a Rakdos in there. Just fun little stuff. I'm actually going to put the Cat Oven in there just for kicks.
Well, the Rakdos Commander deck has a lot of synergy. I remember watching the episode, and I don't remember who was playing it, but they were going off. They were just discarding and drawing and just getting so much value from their card.
Yeah, you really do. And so I really enjoyed it. I did go to Friday Night Magic this past weekend. Nicholas wanted to go, and that's where the story is going. Is that Nicholas was like, I'd like to go. I was like, well, we have two choices. We can go out to Fort Plain, which is closer, in a smaller store, or we can go to Kerwin's. I'm like, it's a 30-minute difference between the two, because Fort Plain's about, you know, half hour from here, and Kerwin's about an hour and a half. So I'm like, it's more like 40 minutes, but I'm like, it's a good between either one. And he's like, well, I kind of want to go to the smaller one. So we did. And it was six people, unfortunately. So that was okay, though. You know, he's going to get his feet wet. And he went with this deck that he built himself that he's really proud of. It was a black-red knight deck or black-white knight deck. He was doing all right with it. Game one, I played him. And, you know, I'm playing my sacrifice deck. So smacky, smacky, dunny, dunny. Game two pissed me off. I ended up playing this guy who had an Azorius Flyers deck. So automatically you're a jerk. but the problem was game one, he managed to get out Sarah or the Seraph's Wings there, whatever the hell it is, the big seven. What the hell is she? The whites. So he gets her out turn four. I'm dead.
You're screwed.
Yeah. So, you know, and I sideboarded in really well, and I got a lot of stuff, and I was keeping things going, and I managed, he gets a decent board state, and then I didn't realize he had two Empyrean Eagles that were buffing each other. Hmm. So I have the cat out, and I have something else out, and he had a 1-1 out, or I had a cat, and he had a 1-1. I bounced the cat, which was a mistake, I admit that, but I threw Massacre Girl down.
Okay.
So, but everything's 3-3. And I'm like, okay, so I'm thinking here that I'm good. And he's like, nope, you're going to be done. And he's kind of being a little aggressive about it. And this really cheesed me off. And then finally, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm like, and I have the devil out, Mayhem Devil. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, well, wait. And then something else, I'm like, oh, well, wait, this is going to take a damage. So this is going to die. Or I could bring the cat back, sack that. That dies, I could get to do one damage to one of your other things that was two, you know.
Right.
And all of a sudden, and I'm like, but I didn't realize that the Mayhem Devil also would have died because something died. Mm-hmm. But I mean, by the end of that, he's like, nope. See, they're all 3-3s. There's nothing you can do. Let's go on. I'm swinging in for 14 dead. That's how game two ended. And I let it go because I'm sitting there going, wait, I could think something's wrong, but I don't want to be a jerk. And I'm like, oh, you know what? So this is the reason I'm telling this story is, guys, if you're at an FNM and you're playing somebody who's really thinking that they're apparently sitting across from Reed Duke, do not be afraid to slow the game down. It did. He threw me right on my back foot. I was at this point where I felt like I can't argue your point. And then it was like 5 seconds or five or a minute or two after like we turned in the results where I'm like, wait, the Mayhem Devil should have died, which then should have killed everything on your board. The only thing out there would have been a Massacre Girl. You were on turn five, which means you could get maybe three flyers out, but I should still be able to roll. I'm like,
oh yeah, he saw the line. You didn't. Yeah. And he's trying to push you just to go past it.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
I can't prove it. So I didn't make a case out of it, but I knew by the way I said that to him afterward, I'm like, wait a second. We should. And I knew there was something like I had this in my head. But I let him kind of push me off. And then when I said to him that the Mayhem Devil should have died and that something else should have died, triggering all your stuff should have died, he had this look in his eye of like, well, you know, I'm like.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Here's the problem that I have with that is that if you're really pushing for percentage points at FNM, I mean,
with a 6-player field,
how much of a try hard are you? Yeah. I get like, FNM is the place where if your opponent forgets the trigger, you're like, listen, hey, don't forget about, you know, search for Escanter, whatever it is, you know?
Yeah.
Don't forget to draw your card or look at your top card. But
he did the same thing, sort of the same thing to Nicholas. Nicholas got a little flustered. So we were driving home and he told me that too. And I'm like, you know what? This doesn't happen at Kerwin's. I know that Kerwin's is a bigger store. Like, I'm like, you want to go to pre-release? He's like, yeah, I really do. It's like, okay, we're going to go to pre-release. We're going to go Friday. I'm going to come home from work early. I'm going to pick you up. I've told the guys today, I'm like, guys, I can't take it pre-release. I'm going to come get Nicholas. we're going to go there because you know what? I know there they're going to treat you, everybody's going to treat you with respect.
Yeah. Kerwin, you know, that's the one thing I'll say.
And I know they're sponsored guys. I would say this, whether they were sponsored or not, I'm just laying that out there. You got to find a game store that does that. And it's nothing against Chris. I love Gamers Revolt. I do. It's where I'm going to go if I can't get to my store and Bonds is doing Modern or, you know, I got three different stores I like to go to and, you know, do business with, but it's nothing personal against him. It's nothing he did, but it's just the environment that Kerwin's has is one of more teaching.
It's much
got to find a store like that.
It's very inclusive. And I'll say right. Like sponsorship aside, I've been to a few different game stores and I've played at a few different venues and there's just something about the inclusiveness that you feel at Kerwin's, the welcoming atmosphere. They're like, listen, okay, you're a newer player. Let's slow it down. Let's go phase by phase. Let's do all this here. And it's just a really great store to go to.
And JJ, I don't disagree with you. I just was using Reed Duke as an example because he's a name that most people know. Yeah. Reed Duke is one hell of a player. And yeah. I mean, I'm sure if I sat for, I mean, listen, I, it'd be like if I sat across from Johnny Chan at a poker table or Daniel Negreanu. No matter what, if I'm sitting across from Reed Duke at a magic table, there's going to be a part of me that's like, oh my God, what the hell am I doing here? You know, but, and he gets that. The problem I had was, and again, this isn't on Chris and it's nothing he's done. And he doesn't even know. I mean, if he's listening to this, please forgive me, man. I'm not trying to down your store. It was not a good experience that night. And it wasn't his fault. It was his players. And it was my fault. I should have been, you know, more on my game. I should have been like, and this is why I'm telling this on my cast. It's not to down the guy who was playing. It's to say, listen, there is nothing wrong at a Friday night, no matter where the clock is. And I mean, we had tons of time left. Mm. No matter where the clock is, to saying, wait a second, we need to slow down because I need to do this math. Can we hold for a minute? Yeah. And if they're pressuring you, then that's when you raise your hand and go, hey, judge, can I, you know, can you, you know, and they'll come and help you. And again, if I called for Chris, he would have helped. Yeah. I mean, some of it was arrogance on my part in that I'm like, well, you know, I shouldn't need to call a judge for this. And again, I knew the mayhem devil thing, bringing the cat in and sacking it with the witch's oven would have given me the one I needed to kind of finish the board.
Yeah.
But it was just a matter of being off my game when it happened. And I thought everything was going to die without me having necessarily to do that with the cat oven that, and I mean, I had him down to like four and he swung in with 14.
Well, we've played each other a lot of times.
Yeah.
You know, I'm generally a fairly fast player.
Right.
I make my decisions and I go through it, but you know that when I'm in the tank, I slow down. You've seen it all the time. I'll stop. And I'll be like,
yep.
What is going on here? Let me read this. Let me figure this out. You should never feel pressured to have to think about a play.
And that's a weakness of mine. And I admit that I can be a little bit fast on the play. I mean, it's why I've walked into how many Settle the Wreckages in my life, you know, but, and again, it's not a slam on them. I'm owning my mistake in that, but it's just one of those situations. I mean, for bringing my sons, I'll definitely be more aware the next time I bring Nicholas there or Matthew, like to that store. Cause I'll bring Matthew there again. It's nice because it's smaller. So there's not as much, you know, fear of, oh my gosh, you know, there's 40 people here and yada, yada. It was a very nice, small, intimate thing. We were having a good time. I won game three pretty handily. He was playing some sort of a different blue white, but I mean, Nicholas made me proud. He did win one out of three. He came in third place. He really, like, he knew how to play his deck. And we had kind of tweaked it just before we went because he had built it. And then I'm like, listen, no. Go upstairs, get my three binders because I have more cards than he does. So, because all he got for Christmas was a Throne of Eldraine booster box. So he kind of built his deck around that. I'm like, no, go upstairs, get my box. And so I did. I started being, no, this is what you need. And this, and here I have a Murderous Rider. Let's put that in there. And you know, we bumped his deck. He played it perfectly. And he played his sideboard perfectly. At one point he looks up at me and goes, do you think I should do this? I'm like, can't help you, but it was the right play. You know, so I was very proud of the boy and I can't wait to see. And I'm like, listen, you're going to love pre-release. I'm like, it's pretty much an even field. I mean, it's constructed. You have to, or, you know, it's limited, but it's, you know, limited sealed. You can.
Well, the best thing about pre-releases too, is that that's a situation where you're sitting next to me and you say, okay, listen, don't put
not that.
It's not that. Cause when we went to which one was that? That was
Jorn of Eldraine.
Jorn of Eldraine. We barely had time to build our decks because we were building everybody else's.
That's another reason I'm kind of, and again, a lot of my guys are listening tonight. You know, that's another reason I'm kind of like, I'm okay with not necessarily bringing everybody to the store this week. So, oh, there it goes. Wow, this thing keeps focusing. I gotta fix that. Yeah. But you know, I don't want to go too crazy on that, but that's, you know, there was a lot of really great stuff this week. The break here, you know, I got a bundle. Wendy gave me a bundle of cards. I did get a commander deck. She got me sleeves and the box that matches the box I had. She went to town. She's like, I got you the like collector box, the, or the commander, you know, character box and the character sleeves. And
oh, that's cool.
It, yeah. And, but then I'm like, I already have it. So I put the one I had in there, but she's just like, and she's like, I had the black and red one. And Nicholas is like, nah, he likes to play red, white, and blue. I'm like, yeah, which is why I bought it. So it was great. It's his fault. I totally blame him. So you know what? But with that, I mean, I think we're pretty good here. We probably should get in. I mean, we have a packed show tonight. We haven't even gone over what we're going over tonight. You know, tonight, folks, during our Untap upkeep, we tend to talk about, we're going to talk about Theros previews tonight. You know, obviously it's the biggest thing. Our combat phase is going to be favorite, most impactful card. We might end up just talking about that. Main two is year of review retrospective, because also it bears noting that tonight is our 1 year. Actually, yesterday was 1 year, anniversary of the start of the podcast. So yeah, seriously, thank you guys. I mean, yes, we've had 43 shows, so that means we've missed 9 weeks, which is not horrible for a new podcast. You know, we're going to hopefully do a little bit better next year, but I mean, we are still middle-aged men, and you know, so, but with that being said, we really want to thank you guys for being, you know, listeners and consumers of our product here. But let's go ahead and get right into
main phase.
All right, main phase. So, Theros Beyond Death has pre-release season. Well, I shouldn't say pre-release. Preview season has officially started. It started pretty much. Well, I think it started this past Monday.
Yeah.
Like, or was it New Year's? This Monday? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it was, you know, it's been pretty impactful. A lot of cards have come out. I think there's probably another, probably what, 50 to 60 to go.
Something like maybe a little more than that, because don't forget, like they're counting the website that we're looking at right now, MTG Nexus, they're counting alternate versions as previewed cards.
Right.
The so versions and stuff are in there. So it's probably like more like 60 or 70 cards left to preview.
Right. So we, I mean, we have tons. So, I mean, but here's the thing. I mean, if you're unfamiliar with the lore, Theros, I mean, we're going to be dealing with gods. That's going to be obvious. You know, devotion is the big, one of the big mechanics. You know, they have a few other ones. The biggest one that I could think of that's in a lot of cards is the escape mechanic, which is basically, it's kind of like flashback, only
better.
It's better. It really is, because it doesn't exile the card as you use it.
Yeah, it does. It does make it so that it's only, there's really only a limited amount of times you can do it, because you have to exile other cards in your graveyard in addition to paying its escape cost.
Right. But
It's reusable stuff, and they tacked it onto a planeswalker, so that's never a bad thing.
Never. So, I mean, we're very excited about that. It's really, really a good. So there's that. The other mechanic is, what is it? It has to do with the enchantments. It's
constellation.
What's that?
Constellation.
Constellation. Yeah, and constellation. Why don't you tell the folks at home what that's of?
Well, all it's a ability word. It's not like a keyword or anything. So if it could appear in other sets and not be called constellation, but basically all it is it's a trigger that happens for this permanent whenever an enchantment enters the battlefield under your control. So for Setestan Champion, which is a 1/3 human warrior for 2 and a green, its constellation ability is whenever an enchantment enters the battlefield under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on Setestan Champion and draw a card, which is kind of crazy.
Yes. So, I mean, so with that, I mean, we want, you know, now there are a lot of cards. We can't go through them all.
No.
But I mean, we're going to give you kind of a bird's eye view. If you've listened to other podcasts, you've probably heard about them. Again, we're coming in a little late to the game. We understand that, but the holidays are the holidays. What are you going to do? So with that, I'm going to start things off, because the card I'm kind of most excited for, I'm sorry. I love Nick's Lotus. I think that that card is amazing. It is a four artifact. So four colorless mana artifact. Legendary. It enters the battlefield tapped. And then when you tap it, you choose a color. Add an amount of mana of that color equal to your devotion to that color. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's a nice card. I like it a lot.
It's I mean, and there are more powerful cards, but I didn't want to like step on your, you know, cabbage patch. So what are you looking at?
Well, I'm not going to talk about my favorite card yet.
Of course you're not.
But I will talk about a card that I think has the best flavor, going back to Eldraine. And with Theros, if you're not familiar with the Theros plane, it's a plane that's based off of Greek mythology. And as a quick aside for JJ, it's not necessarily a casting cost. It's like an alternative casting cost. So if something has escape, you pay its escape cost, plus you exile the number of cards that it calls for. But it still counts as whatever the original converted mana cost was for purposes of that. But anyway, going back to the card that I really like, Theros is a set that's based off of Greek mythology, Greek gods, the stories, all the mythology, all that stuff.
Right.
They have an Achilles card, which I think is perfect. It's called Haktos the Unscarred. It is a 6/1 for 2 red and 2 white, legendary creature, human warrior.
Yeah, I know that card.
Haktos the Unscarred attacks each combat if able, which feeds into the little bit of arrogance that Achilles had because he's basically invincible. As Haktos enters the battlefield, choose 2, 3, or 4 at random, which is interesting.
I just don't think that's that good. Go on. Sorry, it still has more. Because again, much like freaking Questing Beast, everything has a 1,000 words. Go on.
Yeah. So Haktos has protection from each converted mana cost other than the chosen number. So that's its Achilles heel. It's either going to be a 2, 3, or 4 converted mana cost.
And I don't like it. I'm going to tell you, I don't like the random number generation of the whole damn thing. I'm not as sold on this. It dies to literally anything. You blow on it, he dies.
It has to have the right converted mana cost, though.
Yeah, but it's...
Or it has to be non-targeted. So
yeah, but a shock kills it.
Not if you... No, it shocked it can't target. It has protection from that converted mana cost.
You're true. But anything else could target. Converted mana cost.
2, 3, or 4.
Yeah. So
those numbers. So if you got 3, Lightning Strike can't touch it. Vraska's Contempt can't touch it.
Well, there is no Lightning Strike yet.
No, but I'm saying if you were playing another format.
I have a feeling it's coming, though. I think that'll be like the last day. They'll be like, okay, huh?
It's not.
You can't?
It is. No, Lightning Strike's not coming.
How do you figure?
They already previewed the Lightning Strike card, and it's not. It costs 3.
Okay. But no, it's there are, you know.
There's ways to kill it.
There are too many ways to kill it. It still dies to Wrath. You know, it just
nice to Wrath.
I know. It's just, I just don't. I don't like the random number of it. I mean, here's the thing: it still dies to Questing Beast, even though you know, huh? Yes, it does. Because what's one of the 1,000 words Questing Beast has on it?
He can't be blocked by Questing Beast unless it picks 4.
No, but it can block Questing Beast and die.
It can't. It attacks each combat of Abel.
Right.
It's not gonna be blocking ever.
Interesting. Yeah, it's an interesting thought. I still don't think it's that good.
If Questing Beast, if 2, 3, and 4, if 4 wasn't chosen and you attacked into a Questing Beast with Haktos the Unscarred, then yes, it would die because I believe Questing Beast,
it has the damage cannot be prevented.
It can be prevented, but I'm not sure. Is that only combat?
Damage cannot be prevented this turn.
Combat damage will be dealt by creatures you control can't be prevented. Yeah, if he didn't have protection from converted mana cost 4, and you attacked with Haktos into a Questing Beast would kill it.
Right.
Otherwise, Questing Beast can't even block it.
Interesting.
It's and for me, it's like not even so much the like the tournament value or how good the card is. It's the fact that it's Achilles. He's essentially invulnerable except for one thing.
Sure. For me, the card I'm surprised you're not most excited about. Hopefully, I don't jump on this for you. Is the Kunoros Hound of Atheros?
I love that card. It's not my favorite, but I do love that card.
Well, of course you do. It's Esper. It's white and black. It's a white and black one colorless, and it's kind of like Questing Beast's little brother. It's vigilance, menace, and lifelink. Creature cards in graveyards can enter the battlefield, so that shuts off the escape casting. And players can't cast spells from graveyards, which also shuts off escape casting.
It shuts off?
Huh? It shuts off the cat oven.
Cat oven.
So, which, you know what? I don't think they should shut the cat oven off. The cat oven is amazing. Like, I love cat oven so much.
Well, it kind of makes sense that they printed the interaction the way that they did because they knew they were going to have answers for it already with the next set. So, but yeah, they started to, they've been talking a lot about the story of the set. Yeah. And the way that it works is that at the end of Theros, Heliod kills Elspeth.
Right.
And she, the underworld. She somehow is able to find her way, or she's going to find her way out of there. In the meantime, the five gods, the main gods, are all at war with each other. Mm-hmm. And they're choosing champions to fight on their behalf. But somehow, I guess, the gateway to the underworld gets opened, and the old titans that used to be in charge before the Therosian gods, they're coming out. They've previewed two of them, and they're stupid.
They are stupid.
They're stupid. I'm going to go with the one that I like. Uro, or Euro, I guess Euro, Titan of Nature's Wrath.
Yeah.
Thing is a 6/6 elder giant legendary creature for one colorless, one green, and one blue. So it's only 3 mana.
And its escape cost is only 1 more.
Yeah, escape cost. We'll get to that. When Euro enters the battlefield, sacrifice it unless it escaped, which is kind of cool. It has to come out of the graveyard to stick around. So I like that. So it has to come up from the underworld. But whenever Euro enters the battlefield or attacks, you gain 3 life and draw a card. Then you may put a land card from your hand onto the battlefield. So it's almost like Primeval Titan.
Yeah, it is a Titan.
Yep. And then its escape cost is 2 green, 2 blue, and exile 5 other cards from your graveyard. And the reminder text is you may cast this card from your graveyard for its escape cost. So it will go back on the stack. Can be countered and all that nonsense, but if it goes back to the graveyard, it just comes back. And it's just, I mean, it's Risen Reef / Primeval Titan. Like if they had some weird bastard giant elemental baby.
Well, I'm kind of excited for a reprint here that I think is going to be just broken for Cat Oven. It is Gray, Merchant of Asphodel.
Oh, Gary, yeah.
It's 2 black, 3 colorless. When Gray, Merchant of Asphodel, enters the battlefield, each opponent loses X life, where X is your devotion to black. You gain life equal to the life lost this way.
Yeah, they upshifted him to uncommon from common.
Yeah. Well, he's kind of...
He's a good card.
He's a great card. And, I mean, he was breaking some of standard the first time he was in, if I remember correctly. I mean...
Black Devotion was a thing, yeah.
Huh?
Black Devotion was a thing back in Theros Standard.
Here's the thing. Black Devotion is going to be a thing in this standard. Mm-hmm. I'm almost sure of it. Like, Mono Black will be an aggro deck again. Like,
oh, yeah.
This, everything I'm seeing here is saying the same thing. But again, and again, folks, if you want to follow along, we're at mtgnexus.com. You know, I'm not going to show it on the screen because, you know, I like my face out there. Damn it. I shaved my beard and everything.
You, did you see they sort of, they improved upon Vraska's Contempt.
Really?
Did. So this one features the art of one of the other titans that we haven't talked about, Kraxos. Orthodontist Nightmare, by the way. So it's called Eat to Extinction.
Yep.
It's black. It's an instant. It's a rare. Exile target creature or planeswalker. Look at the top card of your library. You may put that card into your graveyard. So it's essentially Surveil 1, but they can't use a Surveil word because it's an ability thing, blah, blah, blah.
Right. But
it's more splashable than Vraska's Contempt. And I think it's slightly better because you get to see an extra card instead of the 2 life. The 2 life was good, but I think the extra card here is really, this is going to see play in every deck that has black.
You're not wrong. I think that it's a good, it's Vraska's Contempt. It's, you know, but with the card draw, and I mean, there's a lot of card draw, you know, that I've been really kind of impressed with. I mean, I'm a big fan of the Elder Giant Kroxa, Titan of Death's Hunger.
That's what I was talking about, the Orthodontist Nightmare.
Yeah.
Teeth everywhere. You notice there's teeth on his feet.
But, yeah, I mean, when it's basically, when he enters the battlefield, sacrifice it unless it escaped. Whenever he enters the battlefield or attacks, each opponent discards a card. Then each opponent who didn't discard a non-land card this way loses 3 life. He will see play in Commander. He will.
He's also a 6/6 for 2.
Yeah, he's a 6/6 for 2 and then 4. Because you have to bring him into his game. Now, Where's the card? If you were playing three color, blue, black, and red, where is it? Where is it? The bouncy card. Hold on a second. There's a card that basically, I think it's the Titan, or it's the God card in the blue.
Yeah, Mufasa?
Yeah.
Oh, the one where she blanks it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's not on here.
Yeah, she is. Thassa Deep Dwelling.
Oh, Thassa. I thought you said, yeah. Thassa Deep Dwelling. Yeah, she's, you know, as long as your devotion to blue is less than five, blah, 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 and it's not a creature. At the beginning of your end step, exile up to one other target creature you control. Then return that card to the battlefield under your control. That will be the card that breaks things.
Yeah, she's going to have some crazy interactions.
Agent of Treachery. Yeah, get her out on... I mean, I'm going to take two of your creatures every turn.
Yeah, Agent of Treachery. I was trying to see if there was a way to combine her with the new Purphoros to make like some sort of a sneak attack deck. Like you sneak in Dracuseth and then blink it so it stays in play.
I think that works.
It does work. It does work. It's just it's a lot of mana.
Yeah.
So I think the biggest problem with that type of a deck would be the speed. But this set has a lot of very powerful cards. It's not unlike Thorn of Eldraine where there's just a lot of wow cards.
Right.
And
that's just it. In this set I'm kind of thinking that there's more wow than there is. Like, I think there's tools. I don't think there's Throne of Eldraine. I mean, there's power creep. There's no way around that. Mm-hmm. But as far as Throne of Eldraine, you know, some of this will break standard in some regards, but I don't think as many as people think. You know, I think we're going to see, like, I think people are going to be a little bit surprised on this. I don't know. I could be wrong.
There's definitely some new archetypes and staples that are going to come out through this set. I don't know. I mean, it's there's still a lot of cards left to be previewed.
I'm excited for Idyllic Tutor to come back.
Yeah, that was a $30 card that they reprinted.
Right. I'm really excited for that. I think that's a great card to have in standard. I mean, there's so, especially in this set where there's so many enchantments that, you know, I mean, there is some good stuff. I mean, Heliod is going to break, you know, Modern, well, or at least Pioneer with a Walking Ballista. I don't think it's going to break standard.
A Walking Ballista is going to get banned right quick.
Probably out of Modern. There's many ways to deal with it, or not Modern, Pioneer. There's many ways to deal with it in Modern. Better cards to do with Modern, but...
It's a fragile card, but it is also an instant win if you can actually do it.
Yeah. I mean, it takes, what, 7 or 8 mana? So.
Yeah.
So what else do you want to hit here? I mean, again, we're kind of just bouncing around.
There was one that I just saw. One card that I think is very powerful, and I'm curious to see how much play it would see. It's good in ramp decks. Would be Elysian Grove Dryad.
Yeah. This
card has, I mean, it doesn't scream Wilderness Reclamation Broken, but it's got some potential.
I think they're gonna, I wonder if they're not trying to do a few cards here. Like some of the stuff I'm reading, it's like, it seems designed for Wilderness Wreck, and we've been kind of like, eventually something's going to come and make Wilderness Wreck is like, I wonder if Wilderness Wreck is somehow going to be the scape shift of this, where like Core Set 2021, they're like, they find the card that we all need for Wilderness Wreck to just become dumb.
Yeah. So Elysian Grove Druid is a 2/4 enchantment creature nymph for 2 and a green. And it says that you can play an additional land each turn, which is cool. And then lands you control have all basic land types in addition to their other types. Now, what this means, if you're not familiar with it, is all your lands now can tap for any color mana.
Right.
What? And they also
not just your basic lands, any land.
Yeah. And it
your
also
guild gates, your yeah. everything.
And it triggers things like Castle Vantress. All your lands are now islands. So okay, it's gonna come in untapped. You know, so it'll trigger your Mystic Sanctuaries. You have 3 islands now, as long as you have 3 other lands in play.
I could see Golos becoming a thing again with that. Like, you put Golos in a deck like that. Now I can be doing the card advantage.
Green Golos.
That could be a thing. That could legit be a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, especially because he goes and finds a land when he comes out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that might be, wow, that could actually be flavorful fun. I actually think that that's a better card than we, I don't think it's Oko broken, but it's potential,
like I said.
You know, I definitely think it's going to be, there's going to be something there. You know, red is finally getting some tools. I don't think that it'll be mono red time yet, but yeah, it's getting there.
Like Storm's Wrath is a very good card.
Storm's Wrath, especially when we have Storm, Thousand-Year Storm. And yeah, Storm's Wrath is a pretty good card.
I do think Purphoros Bronze Blooded is a card that can see some potential. It's sneak attack on a stick.
Well, it's kind of like, it gives you eight of, what the hell is it? Ilharg. It's kind of Ilharg-ish.
Yeah.
So now you have eight Ilhargs as opposed to four. And so that means Dracuseth, Skargon Hellkite. Mm-hmm. All these really, really powerful but take forever and a day to get out red cards are actually legit. I think he could see play. There is some serious Gruul.
Yeah.
Like, well, I'm seeing a little bit there. Like, Gruul could become a deck again.
There's also one of the cards from the theme boosters that actually goes really well with Purphoros, and that's Terror of Mount Velis. 5/5 dragon for 7 mana, has flying and double strike, and when it enters the battlefield, your creatures gain double strike.
Yeah.
That's end the game right there.
That'll end the game.
So, but yeah, I still haven't said my favorite card. I'm saving that for combat.
Ah, I understand. It's not Ashiok, is it?
It is not Ashiok. It's an uncommon.
It's an uncommon. Wow. Well, since I brought it up, I mean, and we've spoken of it before, but Ashiok, Nightmare Muse, he's kind of a broken planeswalker. He'll be fun. I'm not really these. Maybe War of the Spark broke us. You know,
Oko broke us.
Yeah. But maybe it's very, very possible that, people have been talking to us. But I think War of the Spark kind of broke us as planeswalkers. Like, we're like, if it doesn't have a static ability that does something stupid, mm-hmm. we're kind of, it takes a lot for us to be like, ooh, like, nobody saw Oko coming. Same reason. We're just kind of like, with War of the Spark, you're like, I know that Teferi is going to be good. I know that Gideon's going to be good, that Liliana is going to be good. Like, it was obvious there because they were so far from where we were. But now I think we're almost to the point now where it's kind of like we're almost immune to it.
Well, I do like the new Ashiok in a very like control heavy Esper deck. You have, you know, three fairy, you have Ashiok, and you know that Ashiok is sort of like your win condition. So you can basically load up the rest of your deck with control elements and exile effects, because Ashiok doesn't care where the exile came from as long as it's face up for ultimate.
You're not wrong.
And it's the traditional 5-mana walker. It has, you know, decent starting loyalty, a +1 that, you know, gives you a thing, a -3 that does something fun, and the ultimate, which doesn't end the game, but is pretty strong.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, this is obviously still an incredible enchantment set. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that we're getting sagas back. Now, I haven't been blown away by the sagas yet.
One's pretty good.
I've got them pulled up here. The first Iron Games is, you know, and that looks like it could be fun. And first of all, it's a 4-chapter saga, which I like.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's create a 1/1 white human soldier token, put 3/1/1 counters on target creature. If you control a creature with power 4 or more, draw 2 cards and then create a gold token. What's a gold token do?
It's basically a treasure token.
Oh, okay. If I
remember correctly, you can sacrifice it for any color mana.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely they're here, you know. Yeah,
like I said, I like the blue one, the mythic Kiora Best the Sea God.
Yeah, I figured you might.
Yeah. The professor just previewed that one earlier today. It's a mythic rare for blue, 5/2 blue, so it's expensive. Chapter 1, create an 8/8 blue Kraken creature token with hexproof. Okay. that's worth 7 mana. Chapter 2, tap all non-land permanents, target opponent controls. They don't untap during their controller's next untap step, so you get a free swing in with your giant octopus of death.
Which by then you should be able to end the game, but yeah.
Yeah. And then turn the third chapter is gain control of target permanent and opponent controls, untap it. So you get you get a huge dude that they can't kill, you tap off all their dudes, and then you steal their best thing.
And by the way, if you're playing blue, then have Agents of Treachery, which is a 7-drop, there in that turn. Yeah. So that tap all non-land Purgative's target Bowman controls, then play Agent of Treachery, take it, and then take another thing at the end. Then all of a sudden you're able to do the whole, like, you know, I get to draw a second card. And yeah, there's a lot of synergy in the deck. I'm really kind of enjoying, I enjoy the set. I'm not totally sure about, you know, the level, like, is it going to be as impactful, you know, as Throne?
I think in a certain respect, yes. The biggest difference is that once upon a time, Oko were great. That was like next level, A tier.
They were.
I mean, Oko is probably the best 3-mana walker ever printed.
Right.
I mean, and that is saying something.
There isn't anybody who's arguing that.
No, it's ridiculous that you had a single card that invalidated so many of its answers to that card and got banned so quickly from multiple formats. That hasn't happened in a long time.
Hey, at least it's still okay in Commander. That's all. Okay. Again,
ow.
Atraxa.
It's okay for now. I wouldn't be surprised if that got banned in Commander.
It is a little bit rude, but I mean, there's 1,000 ways to deal with it.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I'm pretty sure that this is going to be and I might eat these words, but I mean, there are things in here we need, you know, like that have been taken away from us, like Vraska's Contempt. You know, I mean, I'm still surprised there's no Lightning Strike. I mean,
Field of Ruin.
Huh?
They brought back Field of Ruin.
They did bring back Field of Ruin. I was going to mention that. Like, and so I'm sitting there going, well, crap, does this mean you might undo your whole Field of the Dead? No, I doubt that. But I mean, you know, and I'm loving that the temples, that they're finishing the temple set. I mean, that's important. Now, I mean, I wonder if in 2021 they'll redo the ones they did, you know, in wasn't Throne of Eldraine where they did the temples, was it? It was the one before. Yeah. So I think in Core 2021, I really hope they redo it again so we can keep a set of temples through, you know, full standard season.
Well, these will all rotate at the same time. Wait.
Yeah, but no, 2020 will not. 2020 will rotate at the end of this cycle.
Yeah, 2020 will rotate. I don't think that.
Yeah, but these temples will not.
These temples won't.
Right. So I'd like to see them. I hope they reprint them in one of the two future sets coming or three, because, I mean, I'd love a full set of temples for a full standard season. But, you know, that being said, you know, there is so much incredible. It does look like it's going to be a lot of fun.
There's
like,
a lot of fun stuff in the set. Yeah, it's fun. Nothing looks stupid, broken. Oh my God, why did they print this?
Right.
More like, oh my God, this is broken. This looks awesome.
Right. I'm definitely looking forward to it. I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't even know, like, what for our combat, I guess I think I know what my favorite card's going to be, and we've already talked about it, but I mean, if you're ready, we can go to combat.
I mean, so. Yeah, I can talk about my favorite card in combat.
All right.
Combat phase.
All right, so combat phase. We are sitting here talking about the combat phase today is, wow, I'm going to take that again. Holy cow. This is really good. Okay, take two.
Freak your bird.
So here at combat, we want to talk about our favorite, most impactful card that's been previewed so far. Now, obviously, we don't have a full image yet of what's coming. Things are going to change. I figure I'm going to let you go first because you haven't talked about your favorite card. So,
yep, I've been keeping it under wraps. I've been staring at it the whole time we've been talking. Like I said, it's an uncommon, so it's not even a mythic or a rare. And it's a card that you're not going to be one iota surprised when I say.
Hold on, a second. Let's try this here. Let me see if I can figure out what it is here.
All right, I'll let you see. I'll give you a couple seconds to guess.
Would it be? It can't be Rise to Glory.
No.
Memory. Because of course I'm looking at, you know, white, blue, or black, or white, blue.
Yes.
Is it Devourer of Memory?
Is it the what?
Devourer of Memory.
No.
Okay. Well, go ahead then. What is it?
Whirlwind Denial.
Oh yeah, that's right. I should have known better.
Yeah. So here's the reason why. Whirlwind Denial is an instant uncommon for 2 and a blue. For each spell and ability your opponents control, counter it unless its controller pays 4. So here's why this is, for me, one of my favorite cards in the set, if not the most favorite. It is my favorite card right now. Go, we'll even leave standard. Go to Vintage Cube. Someone's going off with Storm.
Oh.
And they cast their Tendrils of Agony. You let the Storm trigger resolve. They've got their 10 copies on the stack. You cast Whirlwind Denial. Each and every one of those gets countered unless they pay 4 for each copy.
Right.
That's stupid.
Yeah, but I mean, it's really only good. I do like that it's an ability, that it's hitting the abilities.
It also completely stops Hydroid Krasis.
That's true.
Totally shuts that down. It's like, oh, I'm going to counter your dude, and you get no cards and no life.
And I you know, I like that, but it's okay. I love this card. I figured, well, of course you would, because, you know, blah, and Veil of Summer's gone, so, you know. But
but it counters triggers, which is, like, a great thing, because people never expect those to be countered.
I have a question. Now, the escape mechanic, does that basically let me flash in creatures?
No.
Or can I only cast it when I can cast a creature?
Since you're casting it, you still have to follow regular timing rules. So if it is an instant with escape, you can cast it as an instant, but otherwise it has to be whenever you could normally cast those cards, unless the card had flash.
Right. Well, that still sucks. And, you know, JJ here, he's been watching us all night. Thanks for sticking around, JJ. He did want us to mention Clothis, so, and that's a great card, especially... Now, let me ask you this. To red and green is less than 7. Does that mean I have to have 14 red?
No.
7 red?
Your total red and green devotion has to equal 7.
Okay, so red or green.
Yes, yeah,
so
you could have 1 red and 6 green.
Okay, all right. Phew. And it says, at the beginning of your pre-combat main phase, exile target card from a graveyard. If it was a land card, add a red or a green. Otherwise, you gain 2 life and Clothis deals 2 damage to each opponent. I do love that card.
I like it.
My favorite card that we've seen so far, and this may come as no surprise to you because I think you could tell I was pretty hot on it before, was just because of the sheer ways it can be broken. I love Thassa. I think she's,
And it's a blue card.
It's a blue card, but I love the bouncy of it.
Oh, yeah. All the ETB triggers. You know, combine that with Yarok.
Yarok, Agent of Treachery. Hell, the Cat Oven, you know, any number of, and there are 1,000 ETBs in this set as well.
Yeah.
But I love the way that she's, I think that out of the two, Whirlwind Denial is going to see some play, but I think this Thassa is going to see play in almost every single blue deck, because why the hell not? What's the downside?
Well, if you're not playing any other creatures.
And the thing of it is, it doesn't matter if you're not playing.
You wouldn't be playing this if you didn't have creatures.
Right. But even if your devotion is low, so she's not a creature still. She's just an enchantment. You can't really freaking beat it except with Teferi.
Yeah. And she's also indestructible like all the gods.
Yeah. So, I mean, I really, really do like her. Now, don't get me wrong. Green has gotten ridiculous again.
Yeah. Green got a lot of toys.
Yeah, of course he did, because, you know, blah.
Yeah.
Inspire Oz back. Yay, thanks for playing. Hydro Growth back. Thanks for playing.
If you want to switch into Golgari, Polokronos Unchained is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, we already talked about, Euro.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that it's a 3-drop for 6/6, now it dies, it comes back now. You know, sacrifice it unless it's escaped, yeah. But when it enters the battlefield or attacks, you gain 3 life and draw a card. So it's a life gain trigger for 3.
It's a growth
and spot. A card draw.
Yeah, it's like, and you get to put a land from your hand into play.
It's like Growth Spiral, but it's also a 6/6 body that you're going to cast again. And I think in a freaking world of Hydroid Krasis, like Euro and Hydroid Krasis, it's like, screw you.
Well, yeah, I mean, you look at the deck, and I mean, this thing's loaded with mythics. You're going to go 4 Gilded Goose. You're going to go 4 Euro Titans, Nature's Wrath. If you want to swap into Sultai, you can throw in a couple of Polokronos, because why the hell not?
Well, of course, you could have the 5-colored Nymph and just go to town. So.
Yeah, I mean, and then you have Nylea Kenai to make your creatures even cheaper.
Yeah. It's definitely... I get that this set, it's a good support set. It's a good second set of a standard season. I do agree with that. It's definitely a good... It's a toy set. It's a toy box. I even like Galia. Like, I love the, I would love to see that for once they get Satyrs right, or Satyrs, or however the hell you pronounce it. But Galia of the Endless Dance, I mean, other Satyrs you control get 1/1 and have haste. Whenever you attack with three or more creatures, you can discard a card at random. If you do, draw two cards. She's not very powerful right now, but she's the fact that they're calling for other Satyrs means I can't help but think the next set, which is supposed to be some giant set, right? Like, they're supposed to be dealing with a lot of giants.
Ikoria, and, yeah.
Yeah. But wouldn't it be kind of funny if there was a war between the giants and the little Satyrs or something? And, you know, and
There's another Satyr that they previewed earlier today called Careless Celebrant. That's a 2/1 for one in red. It's a Satyr Shaman. When it dies, it deals 2 damage to target creature or planeswalker an opponent controls. So it's a nice aggressive red card. There's also Blood Aspirant, which is Satyr. Whenever you sacrifice a permanent, put a +1 counter on it. Pay 1 in a red, tap and sacrifice a creature or enchantment. Blood Aspirant deals 1 damage to target creature. That creature can't block this turn.
Oh, by the way, when you do that, if you have Mayhem Devil out, now it's 2.
Extra damage.
That card is actually probably going to see some play in, you know, the broken decks. Yeah. But, I mean, as far as our combat goes, I mean, I don't know how we can fight this because it is, like...
It's opinion.
They're both... Whirlwind Denial and Thassa are both, you know...
Blue got some good stuff.
Blue got some great stuff, you know, and JJ's got an idea for us, too, as far as... He's saying that, you know, turn 1 ley line, turn 1 goose, turn 2 Nylia, turn 3 questing beast. I love questing beast.
That's a bit of a
get two more. I've only got
a magical Christmas land hand, but who cares?
Yeah. We're a lot of magical Christmas land hands. So,
yeah. It's just like,
why you got to pee on my cabbage patch, man?
Well, it's just like, it's like I was saying, this I don't think anything in the set screams potential ban yet. Obviously, there's still things to be previewed. There's another Planeswalker that we don't know about yet. So we have to hold our breath on that one.
Well, you got to figure. I think I know what it's going to be.
It's a new character.
Oh, is it new?
Okay, you know, it's going to be a new person.
Well, because they showed a picture of Rise to Glory of Showed Gideon. I'm like, mother fracker. You know, come on.
Rise to Glory. What color is that?
White and black.
That's not Gideon.
Oh, it looks like Gideon.
That's Daxos.
Oh, well, screw you then.
Yeah, that's
Daxos. Looks like Gideon.
Yeah, Heliod restored Daxos' soul.
Okay.
And he made him his champion. And, of course, there's going to be the whole thick, you know, plot thing here because Daxos and Elspeth used to be a thing. So now she has to fight him.
Right.
So, yeah.
And I love the lands. I still love the lands. Are those going to be in every pack?
The Starfield lands?
Yes.
The Pokemon lands you said you hated 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I'm coming around on them. Shut up.
They will be in all the regular draft booster packs. The regular basic lands won't show up unless you get a bundle.
All right, good.
So if you get a bundle, you'll get those basic lands.
Because when we get our box a week from Friday.
Yes.
So, all right. Well, I think we can end combat here because, you know, I do want to give ourselves a little bit of time to celebrate the 1 year. But, that's combat. So let's do this. Combat phase. We'll do this again. Oh, jeepers. No, I'll do this again. Hold on. So let's go ahead and end combat here and get right into it, because I do want to talk about the year retrospective. Main phase. Okay, so 1 year ago yesterday, Aramis and I finally, we sat down and we contacted each other using the web, and I think this is the year of episode 1, not episode 0. We should never, ever speak of episode 0 again. That was the one where you had the mic that was like,
popped every couple seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so you can really see the difference between episode 1 and episode today, 43. Yeah. There were some technical issues on my side, but hey, I'd never done this before. Leave me alone.
Right. Well, you had a mic too. Your mic was like, you had like a weird headset mic and there was bleed, and it was funny though. I mean, we started this a year ago. We never thought it would get as big as it has. I mean, we were doing it just because Aramis got a job away from where we were working. And so I was like, well, I know I lose my buddy to talk about magic with. And I had just ended a podcast before that with Legends TV Talk.
And we had mentioned like doing it shortly before I had left.
Right.
Well, it sort of just like kind of was like, all right, it's a cool thing we might be able to do. But then when I was leaving, we're like, hey, what about the podcast?
Yeah. So we started it, and you know, now we're here, and you know, we're finally sponsored and things are growing. But we're really thankful for all of you, by the way, for that. We can't say it enough. You know, we're nothing without you guys. JJ, you know, sitting in here. I know Ricky's one of our oldest fans, you know, and then there's the guys I brought from the, you know, from the club. And you know, we really do appreciate all of you. But you know, this past year has been kind of great, you know, and we've had a lot of fun. I mean, I went and got married, you know, we've had some, you know, interesting times, but I mean, going forward, we're going to try to step it up a notch. There'll be more announcements as far as what's going to happen there. Probably, hopefully we're going to put stuff together this week. So maybe have something to announce next week and then, you know, move forward. But you know, with that, you know, in regards to that, I mean, we're going to really try to make sure that we're going to lock in a time as far as start times, because we've always been kind of like 7:30-ish, but I pick up my wife some nights, and you don't need to know about that. But, you know, Mondays are still going to be the night. We're going to nail a time down, put it on our, you know, Facebook and Twitters and stuff like that. We're going to start stepping up to Twitch and things of that nature. But I really, you know, it's been really kind of great doing this. So, Aramis, what about you? What thoughts have you got?
I mean, like, I had never done a podcast before, you know, I really have. And I haven't really, like, I've never really been in front of a camera. I never really spoken in front on a microphone, except for maybe a couple times. Public speaking was always very hard for me. It's a
have
little
you ever drank a beer on. No, sorry.
No, actually, but public speaking was always very hard for me. And it's a little different now since I'm just, you know, kind of talking to a camera and to Will and so it's not as many people, you know, to make me nervous, but I am very surprised at how quickly the podcast has grown. I remember maybe like 4 or 5 episodes in, you were telling me that, hey, we got like this many viewers in this many countries. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Really? People are really listening to us, huh? And then we got a couple of reviews and they were positive and people are saying how they loved where we were coming from, where it's not all just metagame analysis and breaking down your best plays. It's, hey, we had fun at Friday Night Magic. Here's right. What happened. Here's our opinion on this. And, you know, we always, with a grain of salt, say it's by casuals for casuals.
Well, and that came to me, what, week 6 or 7? I'm like, this should be our tagline.
Yeah.
You know, because we are. I mean, you know what? We might go play a, you know, MCQ or whatever here or there or whatever they're called now, or Star City Games, or we might go and sit. But I mean, neither one of us have pro aspirations whatsoever. You know, we're fans as much. I know you do, but I don't. I mean, I'm happy with this being my outlet and my hobby, you know, and I don't think I'm alone. You know, so the key for this podcast for me when I first came up with it was I wanted a podcast because I was, you know, I drive an hour to work every day. So an hour there and an hour back. So I spent 2 hours in the car and I would go looking for podcasts and they would all deal with standard with kind of like this tone of indignancy, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, but I'm only playing standard. I just got back in 2 years ago. Like I have to play standard and you're not, you know, you talk about standard, but you talk out of it outside of your mouth. So the reason that I really have always focused on standard is that I love to play it. So I want to talk about standard. You know, that doesn't mean we don't talk about Pioneer and Modern and Commander and everything else because we're fans of the game. But, you know, this Planeswalkers, the mothership show is always going to be standard. Now, we may make a Pioneer. At one point, we were talking to a couple of other hosts about doing a Pioneer show, and that fell through. Nothing on either side of it. We just realized that it wasn't going to work for what we wanted to do and what they wanted to do. So that we wish them the best, and I'm big fans of them. I can't wait till their show comes on because I will be downloading it. But, I mean, that being said, you know, this show focuses on standard because I think that there's a market for it, really. So I love it. I'm so damn flattered when I hear people talking about how much they enjoy listening to the show because we're not elitist, I would like to say. And that's not to say there are other shows that are, but I mean, if you listen to, you know, Jerry Thompson, you know, he has a right to be elitist. He's amazing.
He's elite.
Yeah. You know, but you know, for a guy like me, I'm like, I want to hear from the guys. I want to hear about like just going to Friday Night Magic because that's what I'm doing. And
yeah,
so, you know, that's why we encourage you guys to email. That's why we, you know, all that stuff. So
yeah, it's being able to talk about jank and being able to quit, you know, we're gonna talk about our crazy little combos that we've come up with because, hey, okay, it's not going to win a PTQ, but it's going to be fun on Arena, and we can beat the horse to death about 17 more times about Nexus of Fate or yes, Oko oh. or Elks. There it is. That's right, horse. You take it. You take it and you like it.
Wow, that just got weird. That's
that too, a little weird. We're able to get weird. And that was uncalled for, sir. I was in the middle of something beautiful and you ruined it.
Sorry. Ruined! But yeah, no, I, you know, we do. And I mean, guys, we're very open in this second year, the start of the second year, and we're not planning to go anywhere for a while. But I mean, whatever you guys want to see, we are going to try to take this to the next level. I mean, we have a sponsor now. So that's going to mean some changes. You know, that we're going to really try very hard to, you know, like I said, we are going to be more consistent, not that we haven't been. But you know, make sure that we're a little bit more polished. You know, but we also need to grow the show, and that's where you guys are going to come in. And that's kind of where we're going to go with at the end of the show. We'll talk about how you're going to win a booster box. But I do want to go to an email because Justin did email us this week. So he emailed us. What was it? Oh, January 6th. So Monday.
That's today. Today.
Oh, that can't be. Oh, no. Friday 1-3. Okay. So he wrote in on Friday. He said, hey, hope you guys had a great holiday. I've been super busy the last few weeks, so I haven't been able to send you guys any more books about why you're wrong about historic. Okay. We need to address this, Justin. I hope you're listening. Please don't leave us. However, you need to realize that you're not going to prove to us that we're wrong about historic. You just may prove about why you think you're right. Do you understand the difference there? Because we're not wrong, but you do it. You do you. But he says, on another note,
it's not even so much that it's a right or wrong thing. It's just, I think for us, it's more disappointment about what could have been.
Right. And that's, you know, we're content creators. Wow, we're content creators. Ooh. It's like me and, yeah, never mind. I'm MTG nerd girl, only not nerdy or girly. Well, okay, I'm nerdy.
Not touching that one.
Yeah, right. Never you mind. Yeah, that's why I shaved the beard. But on another note, something I think would be interesting for you guys to do would be hosting or casting a Planeswalkers MTGA tournament for your students slash viewers. Could be a Saturday or Sunday thing instead of conflicting with Friday Night Magic. You could have your own ban list, standard shakeup, if you wanted to as well, to craft your own thing out of it. Could be a cool thing to have on Discord or something. Thoughts? Justin, I'd love to do it. I'm not sure the response we'd get. It would be something I'd have to talk to Steve about because maybe that's how we would give away a booster box of Illyria or whatever the heck it is. You know, or we'd have to find some prize support for that. If I was going to do it, I'd want to do it right. You know, but I mean, it's something we could do. I mean, direct challenges and stuff of that nature. I'm not sure how we stream it because, you know, the one thing that they're doing Arena, when they stream an Arena event, is that since both computers are on their network, it's real easy for them to have like that little screen at the top that shows you the other person's hand and the one screen at the bottom showing everybody else and the battlefield. But I'm not saying no, it's definitely an interesting idea. What do you think,
Aaron? I like the idea.
We would have to really plan on.
The logistics and the technical aspect of it would be really tough. I mean, I almost, back when I was still working with you, when we had the club when it first started, you remember I came over on a Saturday. I proxied.
We did the Vintage Cube.
A Vintage Cube. That was a smashing success.
And we did stream it. We lost it, but we did stream it.
I wouldn't mind doing something like that again either. I mean, something right along those lines. I'd love to get the students involved and give them some screen time because that really helped us solidify ourselves getting back into the game, was being able to teach other people how to get better.
And, yeah.
You know, I think doing something like that would be fun. Again, it would be the logistical challenges would be the hardest part, but I'm sure there's gotta be a way to figure all that out. And we just have to,
we would have to think about it. And you know what? I mean, since you came up with the idea, guess what, buddy? You're on the committee.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for that. That great idea. Help us do it. So, because guess what? We're still two men in our, well, I'm in my now mid to late 40s and you're in your early 40s, late 30s?
Late 30s.
Screw off. You're a jerk. I'm now 46. I told Wendy the other day, I'm like, I'm only in my mid-40s. And then I realized on the way home, I'm like, I'm still in my mid-40s because it's 46. And then I'm driving home and I'm like, oh, God. Like, total privilege moment. I understand this, but I'm owning my privilege right now. There has been privilege associated with being a white, heterosexual, Caucasian male, ages 18 to 45. That's like the sweet demographic for most products out there. They market to me. Not anymore. I'm now 18 to 40. I'm now 46 to 65.
You've crushed the threat.
Nobody's marketing to me. Nothing. Dude, I want ribbon candy more than I can say right now. I just shoot three kids off my lawn. Like, I'm actually really worried about this.
Actually, there is something that gets marketed to you. It's just, it's spelled AARP.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you for that. Yes. But no. Oh, yo. But yeah, that's, but we would definitely, I would love to see us be able to do it. It might be something we would do. You know, maybe not the next rotation, but maybe the rotation after. You know, we could probably get some prize support for it. We wouldn't be, I wouldn't do it locally. I mean, we would have to do it online, which means we'd have to come up with some sort of system of like, how do we rank people and how do we get them started? And is it double elimination and yada, 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 yada. So, and Josh Gilbertson, who just posted on our little post that went live. So we were almost right. just went live right now. Just
nice.
So revitalized. Nice. Thank you, JJ. Nice. But with that, so we want to thank you, Justin, for writing in. Guys, you can write us. We talk about it at the end of the show, but podcast at plainstalkerspodcast.com. We read almost every email we get on the air. So once we start getting more emails than we can read, well, that'll be a beautiful day. And yeah, we'll totally pick and choose. And you know what? If you write now, if you become like one of our early fans, you might get read later on. Well, we're really popular and Reed Duke's asking us to come on. So
That's life goals right there.
There we go. But we have one more thing to talk about. And yes, of course we put it to the end and we brought you guys in here with the promise of a major giveaway. Now, like American Idol and any number of other shows out there, we're not doing it tonight. Oh no, we're not. However, I'm going to tell you guys how you can do this. Thanks to Kerwin's Game Store, our sponsor, part of this deal they've made with us is that they are going to give an entire booster box. Now, this does not include the pre-order, you know, booster card, you know, like you're not going to get the special card, but you're going to get an entire booster box of Theros Beyond Death, right? That's the name of the set.
Mm-hmm. That is the name of the set.
Seriously, what is in this thing? But it's only 5.8, man. But in any event, Theros Beyond Death. So, what we've decided to do for this one, and we're gonna rotate this up every time we do it. If we get another opportunity, we will. But Aramis and I kind of put it together, and in an effort to grow the show, we're gonna go ahead and do the like, comment, and subscribe with a twist. Now, we're not gonna make you guys share this to your walls because you know what? Nobody likes doing that. And I'm gonna tell you guys right now. When somebody makes me do it, do you want to know what I do? I set my permissions that say the only person who could see this is me and the guy who wants to see if I shared it. That's it. Because 9 times out of 10, they don't check if it's public. So there's that. All right. So we're not going to make you do that because we ain't that guy. However, since most of you have consumed this show through Facebook, we are going to use that mainly. So here's what it is. There is a contest entry post. It is now live. It went live at 8:30 p.m. tonight. Eastern time. It is going to be up for 1 week. So it is going to be up until we record next week.
January.
So we will shut it off when we start going live around 7:30 next week.
That's
okay. January. So it's not a full week. It's like a week and 23 hours.
Yeah. So yeah, from tonight, January 6th until next Monday, January 13th at the time
right.
Live, this will be available.
Right. Okay. So starting tonight, you must do the following. You must leave a comment on that post, and it is going to be the pinned post on our page, MTG Standard Planestalkers podcast. And you can get there to Facebook.com. I think it's Facebook.com/Planestalker. Or Planestalker without the S at the end. I apologize. So you can go to Facebook.com/Planestalker to find it. And that's not working either. What the frack? We're going to have to edit this in a bit.
I see it.
Okay. Planestalker works. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's Facebook.com/Planestalker. You're going to go there. And at that post, you're going to leave a comment then we also need you to follow the page. It's very important you do that. Again, we're trying to grow the page. And then we would like to ask you to leave a review on that Facebook page. Not just to say we're giving you a box, by the way. Don't be that guy. And you know who you are, Mr. iTunes Review, and like, hey, they made me do this. Don't write that. I'm going to disqualify you for that because it's kind of crappy. But we want what we're looking for in the review, guys. It doesn't have to be all overwhelmingly positive. Honestly. Feel free to give us some pointers. And we've only been doing this. Yeah, huh?
We prefer an honest review.
Yeah. Like, so, you know, giving us, you know, saying, hey, stop it. Like one review said, hey, the beating a dead horse sound is way too loud. You know, so I turned it down. Things of that nature. We want that constructive criticism. So that's why we're making it that you have to leave a review on that page. So again, if you're going through the Facebook route, you have to leave a comment on that post, follow our page, and then leave a review on that Facebook page. And again, it has to be with some content. Now, for those of you who are just listening to this on your podcast players, okay, and maybe you don't have Facebook, that's cool. All right, we're not going to make people sign up for, you know, Mark, you know, whatever the hell his last name is there. I'm not going to make you sign up for his stuff. That's no okay. But what we'd like to ask you to do then is the same thing we've been doing, is if you don't have Facebook, we will accept a screenshot of an iTunes review that you did send to our email between now and next week. So those of you that have already put in for the contest, if you want to update it and take a picture, that's fine. But, you know, you can only win once. And leaving an iTunes review and doing this, I guess there's no way for us to know, Aramis. So I guess like it would be that would be like a dual entry.
Yeah. Honor system, I guess.
Yeah. Well, honor system, smarter system. If you want to leave us an iTunes review, guess what? You got two entries.
There you go. Yeah, so, that works.
You know, and then what we're going to do is Monday on the show, before the show, Aramis and I will take the post down. We'll get in, you know, we'll number everything. We'll do a random number generator right on Google. I'll probably put it right on the screen and say, these are the numbers of people who they are. And the winner gets that, you know, we'll draw it right in front of everybody so everybody can see it. So again, you know, it's up for 1 week starting tonight. Leave a comment, follow the page, leave a review on the Facebook page. That's one way. The other way is to leave an iTunes review, take a screenshot, make sure that we know it's you. And if you do that, then next Monday we'll draw. And what'll happen is we'll draw the person and then we'll get a hold of you and tell you how to get your box. And you won't have to deal with us at all. We're not mailing it. Our distributor is going to take care of that for us. So it's going to be real easy and awesome for all of you. So
sounding all professional, our distributor. I like it.
Yeah. So, but with that, and I mean, wow, I guess we've already got some people that are commenting. So.
Cool.
Yeah, we've got, wow, four engagements. So this is good. So with that, I think we should go ahead and get ourselves into the end step of our show. End step. So here we are at end step. And as we're rolling up our play mats and we're starting to get our stuff together, putting our cards in their boxes and, you know, picking up our pizza boxes, because damn it, your mother still doesn't work here. Aramis and I want to both remind you that we stream Arena on the Planeswalkers podcast channel on Twitch. Just look up Planeswalkers podcast. You can also follow me on Twitch at MindCrime73.
You can also follow me on Twitch at RMECWRX. Anytime either one of us streams, we also dual cast it, I guess you could say, on the Planeswalkers podcast channel. So following either of those pages will get you our content. I know we have been lackluster at best with streaming. We're going to be working on that this year to try to be more consistent and more predictable with our streaming schedules. So RMECWRX for me, MindCrime73 for Will, Planeswalkers podcast for both of us. Yeah. Hopefully we'll see you guys on Twitch. If Twitter is more your speed, you can find our show at PlanesTalkerPod on Twitter.
And you can actually find me on Twitter as well. My personal Twitter is at WR Benson. Now, listen, I don't tweet a ton of things, guys, to be quite honest with you. I really just have it to keep trying to find those bikini pictures of Betty White that keep coming in every once in a while. So, I mean, so, you know, of course, though, feel free to follow me on Twitter. Occasionally, I do put up some funny stuff. You can also follow us on Facebook, as we discussed, Planeswalkers or Planeswalker on Facebook. And just look it up and like and follow the page.
I am never going to get that image out of my head. So bad.
I'm hysterical.
That is terrible. Oh, the horror, the nightmares. Oh, Ashiok, save me. Finally, you can send us emails. You can send us emails and even ask for advice in our Ask Aramis section, where I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices. And if you want to just leave a comment about the show, that's a great way to do it as well. Let us know how we're doing, any advice that you want to give us, or if you want to tell us to turn down the beating horse sound so we can turn it up, that works too. And if you want to send us that email, our address is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com.
All right, folks. And we, again, want to say thank you so much for listening tonight. We don't have any new iTunes reviews tonight, but please remember to log in there, leave us a few. Definitely check us out this week on our contest site. But for Aramis Perez, we're going to back out of here because we've been really late. But we want to thank you guys again for a wonderful year. We're looking forward to doing another year. So for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying, remember to always leave some of your lands untapped because you never know when you'll need them. Take care and have a good night. Bye-bye.